All that and a bag of chips. It's the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Oh, hey, everybody. Welcome back in here. It's Corey and Joel, your good friends, your buddies. You've got a friend in Ferndale, Michigan.
Well, you're steadfast chums.
Corey and Joel. That's right, baby.
Hey there, buddy boy.
Giving you free entertainment since 1995.
Yeah, you bastard.
2005. 1995 is a way friggin' long time ago.
Get on that lunch fund already.
Hey, we'll talk about that. So, welcome in, peoples. Corey and Joel, you're listening to Eddie Vedder singing a Bob Dylan song.
Yep.
From the soundtrack of a new movie called I'm Not There. And our staff movie reviewer.
I have seen the film and we'll discuss it at length later on.
We'll discuss it later on in the show. But it's all Dylan songs. It's a movie about Bob Dylan. It's kind of weird, but Corey will be reviewing the movie later. I did not see it, but I do. I brought the soundtrack. Corey brought the movie review. That's why we're teammates.
Right, there you go.
That's why we're partners.
That's how it is.
Show 145, ladies and gentlemen. So welcome back in.
One of your I'm Not There is one of your big holiday releases.
Is it? Are they expecting Oscar consideration for it?
It's Thanksgiving. It's kind of a prestige.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, I don't know that anyone cares about Dylan to any degree to go see a movie about it.
We'll talk about all that at length.
All right,
but I also saw another big holiday release.
Which was what?
This is the beauty of my job. Oh. I see this really artsy Dylan movie.
Tell me you saw Mr. Magorian's Emporium.
No, I saw Fred Claus.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So there you go.
I'm not sure if that's better or worse than
we'll
Mr. Magorian's Emporium.
Movie reviews of Fred Claus and
fuck.
I'm Not There.
Wow.
Mr. Magorian, I don't know.
Is that your review of Fred Claus, I'm Not There?
Yeah.
I said, fuck it, exactly. I'm not there. Eat a bag of dicks.
I don't know if they can pay me to see Mr. Magorium's man.
Really?
No.
It's Natalie Portman running around.
Unless he invents some kind of whimsical, wonderful dildo that she spends 45 minutes filling herself with. I don't think I'm going to watch it. No.
Wait for the DVD. Yeah. Maybe it'll be on there. Yeah. So,
Mr. Magorium's Magical Emporium. God, does that sound like a piece of shit. Oh.
Isn't that like Toys with Robin? Isn't that like the sequel to that movie with Robin Williams?
Yeah, it was like
a bag of dicks.
It's kind of like Night at the Museum, but with a toy store.
Sort of,
That's what they were like.
It's
the toy store's alive and full of wonder.
I saw that they were marketing toys as like, they're like licensing.
I just turned into Doug Henning there for a second.
Yeah, well, you know, they're licensing toys to that movie now.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, like classic toys, like the Rubik's Cube. Is now presented
by Mr.
Magorian's Emporium. I saw that in a Target circuit.
Oh, good. So now those new toys can kill your kid with lead paint, and it'll be wonderful.
I don't know, but Mr. Magorian's Emporium is apparently full of old, shitty toys.
Yeah.
That we all played with 20 years ago.
Hey, it's a Slinky, but it's magical now.
Yeah, it was like the phone with the face on it. You ever see that?
Like
that was one of the Mr.
Magorian's.
Is there Magorian's?
Like a speaking spell?
I can't remember everything. Like it was in the Target.
What was the one with the little farmer? You'd pull it and be like, the cow says moo.
Oh, I forget what that is. Yeah,
the seeing spin, speaking spell or whatever.
Speaking spell. No, that speaking spell was an electronic thing.
Okay, well then, what was that called? See and say something.
See and say. I think that's
you pull
that
the cord and the thing's like the chicken goes cluck cluck cluck. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we have listeners with kids who know all of this shit,
right?
And we're struggling here, but so let's get
we
off.
We also
that
have
topic.
Children who grew up in the Eastern Bloc, and we have listeners
yes
that weren't allowed toys as children.
Yes.
I played with circuit breakers, and sometimes I would break open a Walkman that I had stolen from.
We had a collection of old machinery parts from factories.
I would play with typewriters, manual typewriters, and electronic typewriters.
I had a collection of different valves in all different sizes.
Valves.
All right.
Valves and switches.
Valves and tubes. All right.
Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad it's you and I and no guests, because God damn it, we've had a lot of guests.
So yeah.
It's good to be back here just with you, and we can talk about our dumb bullshit.
It's house cleaning today.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? We did about 38 shows.
Housekeeping.
Yeah.
Housekeeping.
We did 38 shows with you and I reviewing TV shows, and then we had a flurry of guests.
Yeah.
And now it's back to you and I, which is good.
We'll have guests again soon.
Yes, very soon.
Next week, in fact.
Hopefully. Well, that's anyway. But it's going to be back. And I think the most talked about show that we did was the John Tenney show.
Well, you're telling me it wasn't the Wolfman Mac show?
Oh, actually, you know, the Wolfman Mac show got a lot of discussion, but that was all like...
Yeah. dorks.
Yeah, that's what that was all like, yeah. You know, it was... The John Tenney Show had actual discussion, whereas people seemed to like Wolfman Mack as a guest a lot, and he was a good guest.
Mack's a real
But
nice
John
guy.
Tenney had actual debate surrounding it.
Sure.
So I guess we should talk about Tenney at least for a second.
Yeah.
Because, well, I want to get into this. You want to talk about Mack instead? Because the Tenney thing kind of leads into something else.
Well,
let's talk about Mack, because that was the first show we did of that group. And
Yeah.
Mack was a good guest. There's a guy who had a career in radio and is now on public access television.
Yeah.
And actually begging us for publicity. So it's, well, that's where he's at on the show business.
I don't blame
ladder.
Him. You know, radio in this town is dying on the vine.
It's not good.
There was like a big slaughter this week and a lot of guys got fired.
Yeah, they fired a lot of people. Wow. I wonder if that had anything to do with like the end of the year and like contracts, and they were just saying, see ya, and then giving themselves some time to hire new people, maybe? I don't know.
Sometimes what they do is they cut people loose and then sign them again for lower
for
money.
For less money, I've heard of that.
Which is crap.
Well, that's the biz.
Sign us!
That's the biz we're in, so.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but that's been going on. But Wolfman Mack, what is his future? Did you hear any updates on his
Mack,
television show? Or
Mack is still talking with one of the local stations.
Yeah.
About getting his show on there. And,
okay.
I haven't heard of, you know, the green light yet, but...
Now, are you... I didn't bring this up when he was here because I thought it might be a sore subject, but...
Yeah.
Weren't you going to be working for Mac?
Did
that not happen?
I said, you know, I once I'd run the article in Metro Times and I was clear of any sort of...
Oh, okay.
You know...
Then you could actually go and take a job
with Mac. Yeah, because, you know, I'm not going to take a job with Mac, but I might... Throw him a joke or two here and there.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to actually go and actually help him with the show.
If he gets on the...
And a hands-on approach.
I'd say if he gets some money out of it, I'll be helping him.
You're
going to
suck his nuts when he's famous.
I'll be helping him right away, yeah.
But he's in his shitty studio and warm.
Well, come on. I wrote an article on him.
That's
true. I got him press. I got him exposure. I've been putting him on this show.
He did.
No, Mac's a good guy, and
okay.
I like that stuff.
I just thought you were saying that you were going to be writing for him at one point, and I didn't bring it up to him because I didn't know if that had fallen through or what had gone.
No, it just I haven't had the opportunity yet. Okay. I might throw him some jokes. Yeah.
All right. So yeah. Corey and Mac living together in harmony,
right?
In beautiful zombie
in Warren,
lust.
Michigan, watching crappy movies.
You know,
we
missed his Halloween party, which in his write-up sounded fantastic.
Yeah,
he sent us out an email.
Massive Halloween party that I just didn't go to.
He had like a Kiss cover band perform.
Yeah.
And some other stuff.
If they had Mini Kiss, I would have definitely gone.
I've seen Mini Kiss. Yeah. They had worked the Gathering of the Juggalos once.
There used to be a Kiss cover band in Detroit called Aces High.
Yeah.
In that all the guys were Ace. They were all various.
I can see why no one would want to see a band of all Aces.
They were all various different eras of Ace in different costumes. It was good.
And that didn't last. Is that what you're saying? No.
There was a good band, though. They were good.
Okay. But so anyway, the Wolfman Mack, and we missed Halloween party because I got a gig and ended up working and actually making money rather than going to the Wolfman Mack Halloween extravaganza. So did you actually end up doing Halloween stuff?
I was
going
to go to the Wolfman Mack, but Amy left town.
Okay.
She had a funeral she had to go to, and so I sat around twiddling my thumbs that night. But I did go to the zombie dance party at the Magic Stick.
Oh, that was on the weekend, yeah.
And I saw every hipster girl in Detroit like dressed in a zombie costume.
Oh, okay.
And slutted it up.
Well.
A lot of people were doing, like, they'd be something, and then they just put zombie makeup on top of that.
Now, what did you wear?
Nothing.
You just went as you.
Yeah, I just went as me. Yeah. They had a station where you could get zombified, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, because I didn't do, and then our old friend Holly from the show had a party, which was the same night as the Wolfman Mack party, and I had to decline that request, too, because I'm working. And I knew you weren't going to fly solo to that either.
Oh, good God, no.
Yeah, so so I missed those. I did go to Holly.
Tell me, I wouldn't go to a party with like 45 dudes drinking beer out of a plastic cup.
Yeah, Holly's
Holly's
party is maybe not what you want to go to. It might have been a laugh.
Well,
for a minute. I would have probably
having bukkake parties. Well, maybe I'll show.
I would have tagged that to the end of the Wolfman Mack party just as a
in
a nightcap. But I didn't go to any of that. I did, on Halloween proper, I did dress up as Upchuck the Clown. Went to Hollowicked at the Fillmore.
Oh, yes.
In Detroit.
The big ICP.
Actually ended up doing announcements between the bands at that event, which I didn't know I was supposed to like 6 o'clock.
I can't believe they threw something at you, a U-turn.
Well,
I'm shocked that
there was a lack of planning involved, yes.
Had no planning and didn't know what
they
wanted until
you
got there.
I actually got a phone call. I was actually putting on my makeup. Andrew the intern was my date for the night. And she was she slutted it up.
Oh,
as
a bullshit artist.
Who was that, me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't
know. Your date.
She was my date for the night.
No, I understand, sure.
So I was getting dressed and ready to go when Violent J called me and requested that I go down. He's like, you have to get down here and make introductions between bands. And I'm like, you...
Yo, yo, Upchuck.
No, it wasn't like
you got to get over here.
All right, I'm not doing that. You don't even know what he sounds like. So anyway, so I went down and did that, and then we had an after party where I was scheduled ahead of time at the St. Andrews Hall. So these are two of the big venues in Detroit, St. Andrews Hall and the Fillmore. And I went there, and I ring announced the wrestling matches. Yeah. Which was fun, and that was a good time.
You met Scott Hall?
I met Scott Hall, formerly of WCW. He was Razor Ramon in WWF. And
you might have known him as the vile Latino stereotype Razor Ramon.
Yes, but they now started the Juggalo World Order, which is a take on the old NWO from WCW.
Right,
and
right.
They have JWO shirts. I got one that night, and they came out and did a whole thing about how they were taking over, which is just, I don't know what they're taking over. But they were there, and there was a few wrestling matches. It was a good time. Had a few beers.
They're conquering the whole Federation.
Had a fun night. Twisted performed live. It was good. So anyway, that was my Halloween night.
All four wrestlers in the JWC will...
The JWO.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
But they didn't... Yeah, I don't know. It was fun, though. I had a good time. That was a nice night.
Isn't it JCW?
It was JWO. Well, JCW is the actual Wrestling Federation.
Yes.
And then the JWO is the guys who are taking over the JCW.
Sure, sure.
And meanwhile, it's the same guys who run the JCW.
Right. There's like nine.
So it doesn't work the same way as the
like
old angle.
There's like nine guys in JCW. And
no, there's, well, yeah, but they didn't fight like. In the old NWO angle, when Scott Hall and Kevin Nash invaded, they beat up the WCW stars like Sting and Randy Savage and Lex Luger. In this group, they were the guys that were actually already the top stars in JCW.
Yeah.
Now they're just JWO stars, and instead they beat up a bunch of like jobber guys, bunch of indie guys, like a guy named Joe Doring, who...
Joe Doring!
Joe Doring's actually a young guy who actually...
Oh, who doesn't know Joe Doring?
Joe Doring, I believe, wrestles for either All Japan or Pro Wrestling Noah as well. So he's a guy who's an up-and-comer. But it was a bunch of like young indie guys who they fought, so it was nobody, you know, special.
Really? So who else was on the card?
Well, there was a tag match of, you want to hear? I won't even
bore you. It gets real wonky when we start talking wrestling.
Well,
right
it
now.
Was, my good friend Madman Pondo.
Okay.
And Necro Butcher.
Oh!
And they fought,
good God!
Well, Necro Butcher's actually now a star with Ring of Honor.
Okay.
If you want to talk about indie wrestling.
Sure.
They're the top wrestling, indie wrestling group. Necro Butcher, and they beat, the Young Altar Boys.
Right.
Who are the disciples of... You don't even. I'm going to stop right now. It's fine. It was good. Too Tough Tony.
No, I heard there was also a
lit his fist on fire and punched a guy. That was fun.
Recently, there was a Revolucha card with stars from Promo Azteca and MLL.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was not at that,
no.
But I know those guys who put that together, and they haven't. They haven't asked me for my professional.
They have
contribution
not. They have
to
not
that.
Asked for your.
They have
input.
Not asked, but JCW loves me as the ring announcer. Although there was a funny moment where. Shaggy Two Dope, who's part of the JWO, decided they wanted a JWO ring announcer for the main event. So I went out there, and we did a little angle where he threw me out of the ring and became the ring announcer. But instead of calling me
Are you telling me that a wrestling event was pre-scripted?
Well, this event was this. All I know was scripted was this one part. Everything else could have been legit.
Sure,
I'm not
sure
about that. He called me Up Fuck the Faggot instead of Up Chuck.
Oh, the wit.
But then he got booed.
Oh, the wit.
He got booed by some of the fans.
Because they love you so much.
They do. So they stuck up for me. So that felt good. Thank you, Juggalo.
That's faggot stuff.
All right, enough wrestling.
You want to call me?
Enough Juggalo stuff. That was my Halloween. I hope everyone had a good Halloween.
That's kind of cool. Scott Hall was a big name.
Scott Hall was a big name. Very nice guy. Came up to me and introduced himself. So
yeah.
He's very cool. So he's a good guy.
All right, then.
Never touched a beer either. I proceeded to get drunk while Scott Alder's been in rehab 37 times.
Didn't they? Weren't they always
doing stone cold sober?
They always doing storylines in WCW about Scott Hall being drunk and they have to look for him in a bar and stuff.
Yeah, there was that. They also did. You might be remembering the Road Warrior Hawk angles in WWF.
Yeah,
where they did that with him too.
Yeah, no, it was on Raw. It was probably
or
Nitro.
It was on Nitro. It might have been.
There was a long time.
Sure,
whatever town they went to. They'd be like, "Where's Scott Hall?" And they'd have to go and like find him in a bar.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah, and then sometimes guys in the bar would like get mad and they'd break pool cues over their heads.
Okay.
It's a wonderful storyline.
But anyway, so that was my Halloween. I hope everyone had a good Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah.
We then had, let's talk about Cass briefly before we move on.
Yeah.
Cass, out of the blue, contacted me and said she was coming back to Detroit and that she wanted to do the show. So that's how that came together. So I put a little teaser up on the forum about, do you remember the Cass show?
We hadn't heard from Cass anymore.
Yeah, we hadn't heard. I had no idea she could have been living or dead, and as it turns out, she did almost die in a car accident. But
wow. Let's talk about Cass.
Her pussy gets all so right, wet, no, you know. Can't
no one
it.
Had any, no one touched
all
Cass.
I know is that, all I remember from that show was she wanted to get a tattoo on her arm that said, "Nice one, brother." To me, the stupidest idea possible.
She's a chick who's like real. She's real happy with her. Like she's not, you know. She's real.
She's real.
Sorry, that's right. I think I can leave it right there. I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
Corey's adjusting his mic stand.
This mic stand's falling apart.
Yeah, we're getting a new one, courtesy of Cam and the Lunch Fund. Thank you,
which
Cam,
reminds us
from Yellowknife.
Get on the Lunch Fund.
Donate to the Lunch Fund. We need some new equipment that would help us. It's holiday time. If you appreciate a free show every week, go to the main page of CoreyandJoelRadio.com. You can use PayPal or even just a regular credit card and donate some money to the show. It doesn't matter how much or how little, but if you appreciate the show, please donate. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a wonderful plug. Since the terrestrial radio market in Detroit is eroding before our very eyes, the interweb will be our home for the time being.
Cam and Yellowknife has paid us more than CBS ever did. So thank you, Cam.
Wow.
We'll get you a new mic stand quick. Hopefully by next week.
We could be
show.
The new afternoon oldies show. What do you think?
But Cass is a chick who's like, she's not bothered by stuff. You know what
no,
I mean? She's real happy doing whatever she's doing.
Tattoo needles.
Yeah,
and,
she's like happy, like getting hit on by Puerto Rican guys. And like she makes,
sure.
Like she's just her life, to others maybe appear to be in shambles, and yet she's the happiest person you'll ever meet. She's a weird chick like that.
She's 20.
I don't know. So she's having a good time, whatever she's doing.
Sure.
Having a good time. Sure. I like that, Cass.
Yeah.
She's a good one.
Cass makes, though, like living in Boston on her own, like depressing.
Well, she said she kind of hated it, but she didn't really have like.
Yeah.
And do you really think? And I put this up on the on when I wrote up the thing for the website about how she her new profession that she wants to like be an Arabic translator for the government.
Sure.
Any chance she actually accomplishes that goal, Corey? What do you give it? Give us some odds, Corey. Let's play odds makers. We're not doing PTI. Come on, go ahead. Give
Let
us an odd.
Me
Give me a percentage.
No.
0 to 100%.
What is -7?
Well, I mean, let's keep it in positive percentages.
1%.
What, you don't think there's any chance that she could actually learn Arabic and get a job working for the government?
Come on!
I'm just asking
I'm
asking your opinion, Corey.
I am confident that a young lady with her judgment skills will be a fine servant of the United States of America and will protect us.
But she seems to be
at home and abroad.
She seems to do okay wherever she goes, though. Either that or she's just so happy about it. I can't tell.
That's one of those girls that is smarter than she ever acts.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think there were a lot of books in her house growing up.
Yeah.
I don't think she ever had any particular desire or
sure
model
right
of how to not be a retard.
Yeah.
A retard.
Yeah.
And that's why getting a tattoo on her arm that says, "Nice one, brother," is a good fucking idea.
Well, she didn't have that done yet, but she did have the, whatever, the wrist, what were the wrist bars and the other piercings and weird shit that she wanted to have done. And
that's why some late night after 45 Michelobes, when some metal band is turning the back of her, you know, her lower back into a Cool Whip dispenser.
Oh, yeah.
Then, you know, she'll just smile her way through it.
I don't know.
But maybe she could learn.
I think she'll end up getting knocked up by a bass player in some bad metal band and having a kid and kind of, you know,
sure,
living off that guy and, you know. And I don't know that that's a bad, I think she'd be happy doing that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know she has, it seems like she does have some ambition, but yet at the same time, I don't know.
God, I almost want to learn Arabic after reading Sean's post.
Yeah,
about
Sean
you,
on the forum
you
said,
become,
yeah.
You're much in demand.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know. She's a weird chick, though. But I like having her on because she's weird, you know. You never know what her answer is going to be to a question.
No. She did shoot us down pretty effectively on anything even remotely sexy. So,
as far as what?
I don't know. I thought
We didn't really try to do sex stuff with her, did we?
We should have.
Eh, but it's hard
that's
to do.
That's what our listeners want.
I know that's what our listeners want, but she did just turn 20. We knew her when she was 17. And
well, we were more into her when she was 17 than when we were 20.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Look, I'm sorry, guys. I apologize. Next time we have a teenager with tattoos in the building.
Well, she was 19 when we had her on. She hadn't had her 20th birthday yet.
Okay. So. Well, Coke bottle, Roscoe Arbuckle, and Starship's going. We're going to have fatty Arbuckle parties.
Is that
up
what we're going to do?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So
we're
going to
get nuts.
Next time you come on, get ready.
Yeah.
Because it's all going down.
Yeah.
That's right.
We haven't had a slutty hot tub party Coke.
No,
up
we haven't done that.
Show
I wonder why. We haven't had one
well,
since.
Because they always fall apart. They sound like a good idea. And then halfway into it, the girl's rambling on about her fucking dream she had when she was 9 years old about, you know, how she was on a spaceship with Donny Osmond.
Really?
You know,
okay.
Yeah, and you go, what the hell is going on?
Oh, brother. All right. So that was the Cass show. We hope you all enjoyed Cass returning. And I was glad to see Cass.
Sure.
And the other guest we had was John Tenney, of course, the paranormal investigator. Basically, I think our listeners, at least the ones we heard from on the forum, pretty much think John's full of shit.
Yeah.
They more or less agreed with me versus him in a lot of his arguments, a lot of his evidence that he gave.
Well, I don't know if John, other than the Kennedy assassination, was really strongly for anything.
Well, I think he was like, I believe in ghosts and I believe in the paranormal. I haven't seen any evidence of these things, and when I investigate them, they all turn out to be hoaxes. But yet, he still believes. He's one of those guys that believes.
I think he believes in the possibility of it.
I guess.
I think that's what I get out of John.
Yeah?
Of course, I've known John for 20 years. He's done all kinds of wacky stuff.
Right.
I mean, the guy, he ran for mayor of Royal Oak once on a lark.
Yeah.
He's had a million different careers and lives and different things. So,
sure.
He's unique.
Yeah.
What was really funny, though, is that after he was on our show, I got contacted by somebody who wanted him for the Mitch Albom show.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever send them?
I gave him their number.
Oh, really?
I don't know if he got on the Mitch
I thought
Albom
you would
show.
Be like, hey, fuck that. That's our guest.
Well, who listens to Mitch Albom?
I don't know.
No one who's
but
ever.
But did Mitch Albom find him through us?
Yeah.
But so somebody at Mitch Albom listened to our show and heard him, or do you think they heard of him through something else and contacted him?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Maybe somebody at Mitch Albom listened. So, Mitch.
Yeah.
Call
us. Listening.
Bro.
We actually had a friend who was a producer for Mitch Albom.
We did. Yeah, she no longer works for them.
She got knocked up and is making the home happy.
Yeah. But I don't know if Mitch heard him, or maybe they heard his name and Googled him and we came up, or they actually heard him on our show. I'm not sure.
That might happen. Is that, well, you know what?
But if you Google John Tenney,
there's
do we come up?
There's a way
up?
To find
See,
out.
See, John has a website. I looked at all of John's. By the way, John's stuff is pretty janky. John should improve his web presence, I believe.
John's had a million websites since I've
has
known
he?
Him. And some of them come and go. And
yeah, but even John, I mean, if that's his way of making a living, I think John needs to do a little more.
Well, you know what? It's not the first click you get.
But is it on the first page at least? No.
Oh, we got bumped by a Real Detroit Weekly article.
Right, and then somebody had him in Real Detroit, who was another guy that we know who actually wrote that article. But, yeah. All right, well, that's fine.
John's a great guy. We didn't get into stuff like his fear of orange foods.
No.
John had a phobia about eating anything orange for a while. He wouldn't eat Cheetos
and stuff.
Well,
he's got weird.
John's a... we'll have him back on sometime.
I think we would have to have him back on, although I think now that I've met John... I think the gloves are off.
Yeah.
I think he better be looking.
You're going
yeah,
to
I think I'm
going to
attack him completely.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to attack him.
We were so busy arguing that we didn't let it. He's got interesting stories and facts and stuff
right.
about weird.
But I didn't know exactly what we're going to talk about, so I didn't have any time to do any research. And he could go ahead and say whatever he wanted.
We didn't get real
without me really being able to refute that, because I didn't know. So hopefully we'll have a little lead time on him, and I can actually properly prepare to call him an idiot. With some information. Not that I disliked him. He was a good guest, and he was a nice guy, and he was entertaining. But I don't believe what he's saying. I don't even know that he believes what he's saying. And I think our listeners
I
think our listeners can pretty much figure out that, that he's,
Yeah.
He's a bag full of crazy, or, he's chock full of nuts.
Well, you know what I think of you, sir?
What do you think of me?
I think you are a supernatural... bigot. That's what I think.
Oh, is that what? Yeah, we'll get into this guy. All right, let's get into this, because this reminded me of the John Tenney show when I saw this.
No, John's opinion, in defense, is a little vague. It's I'm leaving open the option that there might be ghosts and aliens.
Yeah.
But He didn't. John never said, like, I believe there's aliens.
Right.
He said there should be aliens because right. there's too many planets.
Yeah.
Which is not. It's that's.
But I think he also believes that. Did he say that? See, I'm trying to remember exactly all that he said. But did he say that he believed that we have been visited, but that there's no information on that, or he believes that we will be visited one day?
It is really hard to figure
out. Yeah, I couldn't tell because people will split hairs like that. Like, well, you know, we know that a lot of the photos are fake or a lot of them are, you know, misidentified weather balloons and these kind of things. But we still believe that spaceships have visited the Earth.
Well, he said that there are certain UFO cases which are not you can't write off.
Right.
That most of them are hoaxes, but there's some that are still unexplained.
There's things that you can't, you know.
Yes.
He seemed to believe in the unexplained. Which is a very, if you think about what the unexplained is, it's sort of meaningless. To believe in the unexplained doesn't really mean you believe in anything. It's just that you believe that things can't be explained.
Well, at
this point.
You leave yourself open to possibilities. He did say that Loch Ness Monster was bullshit, and thank you.
Well,
I concur with that.
Way to go out on a limb there, Mr. Tenney. All right. So anyway, there's this show. This reminded me of the John thing. There's a show called Phenomena.
Yeah.
I think it's Phenomenon, actually, not Phenomena, but it's Phenomena.
Phenomena. Phenomena. Phenomena.
All right. Thank you.
Come on. Everybody loves the Muppets.
Well, that's actually not even from the Muppets originally, but they made it their own, I believe, is the case on that.
Where was that from originally?
I think it's just an old jazz song that they did or something. Yeah, I think that's the case with that.
All right.
I looked that up once because...
Well, you're like the one asshole in the world.
I know it from the Muppets.
Right.
But I looked up the history of that song once on Wikipedia or something. And I think it was made famous
by the
Muppets.
God, are you a wanker?
No, because there's a guy...
Who looked it up?
You know why? I'll tell you why, but you're going to hate my reasoning for even that.
I am.
Because my friend DJ Shank played it on W Fuck Off Radio.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked it up because I was interested in it.
Sometimes you really crack me up. You're like Robert Crumb looking for old, like, 45s. So, like the boogie woogie boobop jazz stuff.
No, I like to know,
okay.
The history of music. And I know that a lot of those Muppet songs were just old. So I remember I had listened to the Muppet, like, albums when I was a kid.
A
lot of those were like old songs that they would just do. They were old, they were old show tunes, or they were, you know, songs that they would just adapt for the show,
right.
You know. And some of them were, there were some original Muppet songs,
right.
But a lot of them were just stuff that, you know, and people remember them because you're a kid and that's, of course, what you were watching.
One of my favorites was the Buffalo Springfield song they did that was...
Did they really do a Buffalo?
Stop, children, what's that sound? Yeah.
Did they?
But it was all the animals in the forest and there was like a hunter.
Yeah.
And they were all running from the hunter.
Well, how many people have seen, like, when you hear, like, Wagner, think of the Bugs Bunny cartoon?
Many.
What's opera? You know, I mean, it's just the first time you're exposed to things, you think that that music was written for the Bugs Bunny cartoon and don't realize it's actually something
else. I argue to this day that if you can watch the Muppets Time in a Bottle segment and not get a little misty,
all right, there
you have no heart, sir.
Okay. So back to the show, Phenomenon.
All right.
Which is it's a show that was created by Uri Geller, who's a well-known mentalist, more famous probably in the 70s and the early 80s.
A bullshit artist.
Hey, you're saying it, not me, but he's been debunked by the great James Randi, who we talked about with John and stuff. And he's a well-known bullshit artist, but he never claims to be a magician. He claims to actually have real powers. So a lot of people in the magic community think he's an idiot. And they think he's an asshole because he's one of those guys who won't really claim to just be doing a trick. He really pretends that he's really...
Sure.
He
like
really
John Edward,
powers.
the other psychic bullshit artist.
Talks to the dead fake. Yeah. So they have the show.
Now, you have... I'm getting someone male or maybe female. Yes.
I see an S in the name.
There's a J. Yeah. And did you have a grandmother? Joel, did you have a grandmother?
Yes.
And she is no longer alive?
She's no longer alive.
You're 35 and your grandmother's passed away?
My grandmother is gone.
Really? What are the odds of that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But so he has a show. It's sort of like American Idol for mentalists. Mm. A mentalist is a magician who basically does feats. The general way you describe a mentalist is using your five senses to create the illusion of a sixth sense.
Oh,
that's how you describe mentalism in a general sense.
Now, do they read what's on Paul Abdul's mind and see how crazy that bitch is?
No, but
that would be good.
But Chris Angel and Uri Geller are sort of the equivalent of the American Idol judges on Phenomenon. And then the audience at home can vote on who they want to continue on the show. And guys come on and they do all kinds of, you know, they guys make predictions about things and they'll do things where a guy predicted a number that would be picked out randomly from the phone book. There's guys who do sort of what's called psychic touching, where they touch somebody without touching them and they can feel it.
Mm.
You'd have two people, you touch one and the other person feels it.
I want to do some psychic touching right now.
That's do you want to? Yeah.
I'm psychically touching.
All right, would you stop it?
I'm psychically touching Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, I thought you were like,
yeah. Mm.
Like, why? I'm feeling something down in my pants. Oh, that must not be.
Wait, hold on, Joel.
Right, that was,
I'm thinking about your package.
Yes.
I'm focusing. On your nuts, do you feel it?
No, you would have to be, what you would be doing is you would actually whack your own dick.
I rub my nuts.
And I would feel it, yes.
It's a psychosomatic wank off.
Yes, I would be tasting the toffee fey that's in your mouth right now.
Okay, here we go.
That'd be another
example.
Can
you feel this, Joel?
Oh, yes. Oh, that's the nougat part there. Huh? Yeah. Oh, is that it? Oh, a little hazelnut in that one?
Yeah, a little bite.
A little hazelnut in that bite? Okay. Wow. So a guy, they do all these weird demonstrations, a lot of mind reading stuff. A guy stuck his hand in bear traps. A guy played Russian roulette with nail guns. It's sort of these sort of demonstrations that you would see mentalists do when they compete. And these guys get to criticize.
Damn, that's a good candy.
Toffee Bay's a good candy. John Tenney.
Toffee Bay, it's too good for kids.
John ate like half a box.
John ate a ton of toffee.
John was drinking vodka and eating like a box of toffee.
So anyway, these guys on Phenomenon, a guy comes on and he did this thing where he would predict. They always have a cast of B-level celebrities. Possibly even C-level celebrities, I would say, who are sort of the audience members that come up and do the demonstration with the mentalist. And the first week, it was, it was Ross, the gay intern from The Tonight Show.
Love him.
Yeah, he's
Love
very very funny,
Love
entertaining
him.
Gay. Love him. Carmen Electra and
Hater.
Rachel Hunter the first week. Yeah. Second week, they used Ross again because he was a gold mine. They used my girlfriend, Shandy Fennessy, who is from that GSN show where you call in. She was also Miss USA at one point.
She was on Dancing with the
Stars. She was on Dancing with the Stars. I love her.
Let me tell you, I interviewed Carmen Electra one time.
Yeah.
She was sitting next to me at a round table.
Okay.
Those were the fakest titties in the history of fake.
But did you like them or not like them?
I was looking right down her dress, and I'm like, wow. Those are so unreal.
Yeah,
it was impressive to look
really?
At.
Really?
But I don't like those.
Yeah, I'm not a big Carmen Electra guy. I never have been. But this girl, Shandy Fennessy, I love. And she was on there. Then they had Raven Simone, who used to be on The Cosby Show.
That is so Raven.
That's her show that you might know that's on
you know that show.
Disney's, yeah.
You're a goddamn pedophile.
Well, you might have kids or something,
right.
But she's on that show. So she was on, and this guy was doing a thing where he was speaking to a dead author. And he would do a thing called automatic writing. In other words, he would talk to this dead guy, and then he would hold a pen.
Like Philip K. Dick or something?
And
he
would scrawl out. He'd describe the guy. I can't remember. It was nobody famous.
Okay.
But it was some learned professor that he learned to communicate to from the grave. And he would do this automatic writing, so he had like a dry erase board, and he was scribbling things. And basically, Raven Simone picked an object from 100 objects in a room. They locked it in a box, and he was going to predict what the object was through automatic writing by speaking to the dead. And I showed – I'm not going to play the whole thing. It was real stupid. You can go see it on YouTube. The guy's name was Jim Callahan on the show Phenomenon who did this demonstration. And he was, like, sweating and making gyrations like he couldn't control his hand. And it was real cheesy. And even if you believe in, like, talking to the dead, it was, like, the stupidest example of that and really phony and awful.
You want to hear a little bit of it?
Well, no. I think what you have is the fight with Chris Angel, which I'm getting to.
I've got him.
Do you have him making? Oh, do you really? I didn't know that.
Mr. Angel, I believe is.
No, that's not it. No,
stop
that. That's the post game on that. That's after the fight. I'm sorry.
All right, I got two clips.
Yeah, I was going to describe those. Anyway, so he does this thing where he's like, ah, and he's like making exorcist noises, and he's drawing.
He's moaning.
And he described the object, and it was described as a car. But Chris Angel is a guy who always believes that you can't tell people it's for real. You have to make them know that it's actually an illusion and not. So when it came time to critique the guy, Uri Geller, who is a well-known guy who doesn't admit to being a fake, he loved him. And then Chris Angel did his critique. So play the Chris Angel fight. So Chris Angel gives him a piece of his mind. It's pretty
Chris,
good.
I've just got to know
this
you
is the host
last
of the show.
Weeks, but I can see you're itching to say something here.
I just think it's comical, quite frankly.
Before I even move ahead here, I'll invite Ori.
That's Chris talking.
And your friend Raymond right now. I have two envelopes here. I will give you $1 million of my personal money right now if either one of you can tell me specific details of what's... Now, don't tell me about the energy.
So he's making a challenge.
Right, man, I'll tell you what I will tell you.
And here he goes, Craig.
Tell me right now, what's in the envelope?
I find you an ideological bigot. That's what I find.
What's in the envelope
you
right
claim,
now? Tell me what's in the envelope.
You claim that you...
Tell me what's in the envelope. Don't give me all this bullshit. Tell me what's in the envelope. Tell me what's in the envelope. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Tell me...
Use the S word.
What's in the envelope right here?
Shocking. He's running at Chris Angel. He wants to, like, beat him up. And Chris Angel gets up and is kind of like, let's go. Host is trying to take control. Basically, in other words, this guy was exposed as a fraud by Chris Angel.
You know,
and this guy got so upset about being exposed as a fraud that he wanted to fight Chris Angel.
What was really bizarre about that guy, and I didn't see the whole show, just the clip, was that he was like moaning through this whole thing. He was like fainting and like moaning and
sweating
like,
and like
it looked like he was getting drilled from behind.
Oh,
he was
stop
like,
it!
We use a large vibrating.
I don't know that.
That's what it felt like. He had like a vibrating egg in his head.
He was carrying on and gyrating.
Is this your answer?
And then like he badmouths Chris Angel. I guess.
And then he's got the strength to go at Chris Angel.
Yeah,
he's near death.
Yeah,
from the psychic exhaustion.
But yeah.
The exertion of reading, of figuring out what TV's Raven Simone put in a box was her resume, because she's trying to get any kind of work in Hollywood other than that stupid kid show. That show's so... Oh, it's like a all kid right. sitcom. So bad.
But it's just funny how people... Because I know we got very heated with John Tenney and me and you and stuff. It just shows that people, when they don't have the evidence on their side, they often resort to fighting. We didn't come that close like these two guys
like
did.
Like you did.
Well, no, because you're...
Like when you turned off our mics.
Yeah, I turned off your mics, exactly.
Yeah, that's you, that was your retort to the Kennedy.
Well, because you guys wouldn't let me talk, that's all.
Sure.
So anyway, these guys actually almost had a fight. And then I guess on the NBC website, this guy Jim Callahan, it goes on and on, but it's pretty funny if you want to play what he said about Chris Angel. Because he actually invokes religion now. And that he thinks that Chris Angel is anti-religious or something, so... This is what he said
Mr.
about
Chris. Angel, I believe,
backstage.
Is an ideological bigot. He claims there's no supernatural, there's no paranormal. I see him walking on water, and it's his way of disproving that Jesus Christ was real. I think every Christian in the United States should be outraged with him. That's my personal opinion. I will stand up for people.
He's just a wackadoo.
This is America, and nobody should stand for what he's doing. First of all, this is a competition. I walked out there. He should judge me on my competition. He's not there to challenge me. So he got the challenge. He has to put a bunch of people between me and him to feel safe. You know, he was practicing that. He had notes jammed up underneath his backside because he needs five guys to write for
him. He had something jammed up under his backside.
I dare the guy to debate me live on
television. I want to book this Jim Callahan right away.
I don't think you can put three words together in a sentence and hold a reasonable debate. That's my opinion. I mean, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of skeptics thinking they can push on people's ideological beliefs, they can attack religion, and I'm the guy that pushes back. It feels like your heart's being taken and jammed up through your heart into your brain. And to have a guy that
makes sense
and uses camera tricks and uses stooges.
Yeah, he's accusing Chris of using
trying
stooges.
Trying to crucify me on live television.
That's the longest.
Did he do that to any of the other people?
It's a diatribe. It's
no,
funny.
He tries to expose people. He brings himself up constantly. He's not secure enough in himself to give a compliment without bringing himself in.
Yeah, he just goes on and on.
Wackadoo.
Yeah, he's a wacky guy. I left the whole thing because it was so crazy.
Guy goes on.
But
he
goes on, and Chris is a phony. Right. He accuses Chris of being a phony. Right. It's great that the phony accuses the other phony, and Chris is like, yeah, he admits to using tricks.
How dare that phony Chris Angel?
Well, see, there is
invoke the name of people who make money off an imaginary sky carpenter by taking donations. See, anytime you bring religion to it, I'm voting against you.
Yeah, you're out.
Chris Angel is automatically winning this argument.
See, it's funny. His argument, though, is an argument that magicians sort of do hate Chris Angel because his show seems kind of set up in camera tricks and stooges. And he has been accused of those things on his show.
He's a little douchey.
But at the same time, it is still a show. It's still less douchey than saying you can actually talk to the dead.
I mean, he seems to work that shirtless leather jacket bandana look like he's fucking Rico Suave.
Well, he's apparently banged Cameron Diaz and Britney Spears in recent months. So.
I'll give him that. I'll give him his props for that.
Way to go, Chris. Yeah. Meanwhile, we're going to end the show now so I can practice my card tricks. I need to get laid.
Okay.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. Instead of that, let's take a break.
Start levitating.
Yes. Corey, you'll be my lovely assistant.
Okay.
I'm going to put you in a tutu and saw you in half. All right.
All right, then.
Let's take a break.
We'll talk the writer's strike. We'll talk film reviews.
And we're going to do we have time for, oh, this is so great, NHL player or convicted war criminal?
Let's do it all.
We're going to try to get to that with more Bob Dylan. This is Karen O of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs doing her take on Dylan. Enjoy this, and we'll be back with more.
God said to Abraham, kill his son. Abe said, man, you must be putting me on. God said, no. Abe said, what? God said, you can do what you want, Abe, but next time you see me coming, you better run. Well, Abe said, where you want this killing done? God said, I want Highway 61. Well, George Sam, he had a bloody nose.
Back here, show 145. Welcome back, everybody.
Yo, yo, yo.
And do you want to quickly get into the... I guess I should do a couple quick plugs. The mailing list, if you want some new fun stuff to listen to, the mailing list is always great.
Sure it is.
What was the last mailing list thing we did? We did a... what did we do last?
It's been so long. We,
did an extra segment with John Tenney where we drank a soda, a weird
candy corn.
It was a
soda.
Halloween soda. It was sort of like our old Jones soda segment, but it was just a lot of John Tenney mucking about.
Those savages continue to make products.
Yeah.
John Tenney mixed candy corn soda and vodka. And
if you want to hear the results.
The results are hilarious.
Sign up for the mailing list over at CoreyandJoelRadio.com. Don't forget, we plugged it already, but if you want to donate to the lunch fund, which is just our way of, if you want to help us out, give us a couple of bucks, and we use it for new equipment, that kind of stuff. And occasionally we buy lunch with it.
Sure.
Go to CoreyandJoelRadio.com. You can use PayPal or a credit card.
Discount Halloween candy we'll buy. If my voice sounds a little off, I have a cold. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Yes, he has a cold today. But
I blew an Eskimo.
I got little mini Vader heads on Halloween discount.
Yeah, Joel was excited about those. These are kind
of
cool.
They're like little Darth Vader heads full of candy.
They're about an inch and a half tall.
Yeah.
And they're,
but they're like, I mean, they're 3D. They're not like a sticker of Darth Vader on something. They're like a real.
Right.
It's like a real molded Darth Vader head.
Well, it's about the size of if you had like the. The Barbie doll size, 12-inch,
sure.
G.I. Joe size,
right.
Darth Vader, it's about the same size head.
It's like I cut a hole in it and put my, wear it on my wiener or something.
All right, now
that's weird. Now that's weird. All right, I apologize, but I like the Darth
Vader. Funny comedy.
That's what you get here,
yes.
Folks.
Wow, you are.
All right, do you want to get into the writer's strike?
Well, here's
quickly.
Here's what I'm going to say about the writer's strike. It sure is a good thing that we spent 5 weeks reviewing every new TV show.
Yeah.
Because they're all going to be gone.
Well, you know what? I read about that, and it's not... Most of the shows will make it... Okay, the first thing that's going... Well, the scripted shows will make it through January, February, usually.
Yeah.
Because most of those are done. They're either in the can, or at least they're written. And once they're written, they can still... Shows can still... You can still produce a show.
What?
As long as you have a script.
The thing is, though, is a lot of talent are walking off.
Yeah.
A lot of actors are walking off and won't star in their shows.
Well, is that true that if you're an actor and a writer, you can't appear either? Is that true? I don't think that's true. I think you have an obligation to show up if you're a performer.
Well, what's occurring also is a lot of the showrunners, the producers of the show.
Yeah.
There's a guy who's a showrunner who's in charge of the whole show.
Yeah.
A lot of the showrunners have decided that they will not do...
Okay.
To be a showrunner basically means you're editing the show, which is writing.
Yeah.
They're like,
well, if they're in the guild, they can't show up. Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Okay. I could see that then.
And people who aren't even in the guild are walking too because they want to support.
All right. Well, they're leaving and
The Office shut down.
Okay.
All the writers, half the cast are writers on The Office, and then the rest of the actors were walked off. So a lot of shows are quitting.
Yeah.
They have a couple in the can. You're right.
Yeah. But, I know they're saying that, like, Leno and Letterman immediately went into reruns.
Yeah, that's already
done. Jon Stewart. Although, I remember the old 80s, the strike in the 80s, which was 20 years ago. I remember Letterman doing shows during the writer strike, and they were, like, it was just real funny because he would dump on, like, they would have top 10 lists that were, like, horrible.
Yeah.
It was just real funny. So I would actually like to see somebody go, like,
well,
hey, F the writer strike, and I'm going to just do a show anyway. And if it sucks, then... But isn't that in a sense, being in Legion with the writers, too, about like, hey, we're going to do a show without the writers.
Bad. Yeah.
We'll see how bad it is. Because I've heard Kimmel might do that. Kimmel, I guess, has said that he may go ahead and do shows. I don't know if he has yet.
What, is Jimmy Kimmel's show written anyway?
Well, some of it is. Some part of that. That. Are you saying you think Uncle Frank is improvising? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well,
you're saying Cousin Sal?
Hey, Jimmy, it's Guillermo, and I don't know, Jimmy, about this writer's strike.
You don't think Guillermo's not scripted? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
I don't know if Guillermo can read. I don't know.
That show's bad.
Yeah, Kimmel's...
He was dressed as Count Chocula for Halloween.
Oh, okay, that's funny.
That was kind of a cool outfit.
I tried to watch all the Halloween stuff I could.
Yeah.
As far as, like, when shows, like, I watched the Today Show...
Sure.
And all of these, and Regis and Kelly and all
of
these
Halloween
shows.
Oh, my. Don't start with the Regis and Kelly.
Whenever they do these Halloween shows, I try to watch.
What a nightmare they were.
Their Halloween show is the most obnoxious one of all.
Oh, yeah.
Because they do, like, 5 costume changes.
Right.
Like, they used to just do one outfit.
Yeah.
And that would be the whole show. Now they've just given up on the whole format of the show, and now they're just doing sketch comedy. It's SNL now.
Yeah, they were
Regis and Kelly.
They were Posh and Becks.
Oh my God, they were! I didn't even know who they were at the time. And then it's like, not only do they do the costumes, then they had
all Britney and K-Fed.
Well, no, that was their flashback segment. So during the Halloween show, they had to do their flashback to old Halloween show. So it wasn't enough that they were going to do five outfits on their regular show. Then they're going to flashback to all the old outfits.
What a bunch of yentas watch that show.
It became Saturday Night Live. Really, what's the difference between Saturday Night Live and that? It's guys getting
humor?
In different outfits trying to be funny. Saturday Night Live fails most of the time, and Regis and Kelly fails all the time. That's the only difference I can see.
For the first time, I very sporadically watched Saturday Night Live, and I actually caught one that was half decent.
All right.
Brian Williams, the NBC News anchor, was on it, and I thought he would be terrible.
Yeah.
And he wasn't bad.
All right. But the Halloween shows, I saw the Today Show Halloween.
Yeah.
You know what? They were all, they were the Addams Family.
Okay.
I'm sorry, they were the Munsters. Let me take that back. They were the Munsters.
Okay.
And
what was Al Roker?
Al Roker was Grandpa.
Was he Cousin It?
He was Grandpa.
No?
Yeah. Cousin It was on the Addams Family.
Oh, I'm sorry, they were the Munsters.
Yeah. So Herman Munster.
Was he Wolfie, Eddie's little...
I'll tell you whoever. Eddie was, what's her name? The Hispanic chick, Natalie Morales.
Sure. I don't even know if I watched the Today Show.
Okay, I'll tell you who's on the Today Show. Matt Lauer, he was Herman Munster, Big Frankenstein head, which he kind of looks like that anyway.
Yeah. Lily.
Meredith Vieira was Lily, of course.
Yeah, sure.
You can see that. She's the mom of the show.
Yeah, she's a shrew.
Yeah. And then, you know, they had the black grandpa, which was Al Roker, which was kind of wrong to see.
Al Roker's everybody's black grandpa. He really is.
And then Eddie was Natalie Morales, who does the news.
Okay.
Who
was the hot chick?
Ann Curry was out or something. What was Ann Curry?
Marilyn. One of them's just regular on the Munsters. Marilyn, Cousin Marilyn.
Yeah, you know what? That was Ann Curry, I think. Yeah, that was Ann Curry.
She just wasn't wearing a costume because she's Cousin Marilyn.
Yeah, and then Eddie Munster was Natalie Morales. And then the dinosaur dog?
Oh, Wolfie?
Wolfie.
What was the dog?
Guess who was... It was a dinosaur. It's a dinosaur, but it's their dog.
Yeah.
Well, that was Tiki Barber.
Oh!
Which is, like, the most humiliating thing. Put the rookie black guy in that. So I tried to watch all the Halloween shows. I watched The View. You know what The View did? It was the dumbest thing.
They dressed like women.
They tucked their penises in extra nicely that day.
They dressed like attractive women.
They reenacted. This must have been a Whoopi thing. They built their set. They reenacted the Cotton Club, and they all got in like old timey outfits.
Folks, I wish it was a video show because you'd see my dumb. Did you see the look I just gave? Dumbstruck.
It was the dumbest thing.
Huh?
Like, it must have been a Whoopi, you know, because Whoopi's onto the black.
Hidey, hidey, hidey,
and they did that. They did that. She came out. She was Tab Calloway. I'm not making this. Joy Behar was in a swing on stage.
Oh, come on.
They had a band behind them. It was ridiculous.
She ought to be swinging from a rope.
It was so bad.
That Joy Behar.
Joy Behar, you're saying. Okay. Yeah. No, it was so dumb. And then,
hidey, 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 ho.
And then, you know, Barbara Walters was just dressed up like a flapper or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. And then, I'm probably getting the arrows wrong, but you know.
You know, it's what's funny is my grandpa loved Cab Calloway.
Did he?
And he would sing the Minnie the Moocher song.
Yeah.
Which was funny because he hated blacks. So he would love that.
And then, the only other show that I saw on Halloween was, there's a show called, what is it? It's Juliet and Mike in the Morning. It's a show that used to be on Fox News, and now it's just on Fox Syndicated.
Yeah.
And she was a French maid.
Okay.
She's kind of a hot chick, Juliette Huddy.
You know what I miss?
And she was like a French maid, and then he was Geraldo Rivera.
Oh, lovely.
I tried to see all the Halloween shows.
Is that Fox's morning show?
Yeah, that's Fox's, it's their Regis and Kelly. It's on at, 9.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I will never watch
that. And I didn't see Ellen. I know Ellen did something, but I didn't see that.
Ellen,
see
once again, Ellen dressed as an attractive woman. That was her Halloween costume.
I didn't see any. I didn't see the
she
Ellen show.
She dressed as a hetero.
Yeah. So that's what I saw for Halloween.
You know
see the nighttime show.
Is that Fox show? Is the worst show that was ever on television was, without a doubt, Living It Up with Ally and Jack.
Yes, that was the worst
show.
That was the worst show. No, you're right about that.
No, you have these shows everywhere you go in the world. In the UK, there's The Big Breakfast.
Yes.
On like BBC 3 or 2 or whatever it's on. and they just put some dumb bimbo Nimrod up there. Yeah. Those shows are not stopped. The Office is stopped by the writer's strike. Good shows are stopped.
All right, so...
they have a good point. I understand people go, well, gee, don't television writers make enough money? The Office people made a little video, which made sense. They said they made us do these webisodes.
Yeah.
And then they made us do, like, you know, and they put all the episodes online with advertising on it.
Yeah.
And then we get 11 cents for, like, every 29 million downloads that happen.
Yeah.
So it's like... Yeah, they're putting advertising on the web.
The argument is they're basically striking over their rates for new media, like DVD and online.
Right.
And that whatever their old agreement that they made 20 years ago, obviously those things didn't exist then.
Sure.
So they need to have a new agreement.
Nobody
based
had a
on
douchey
that.
iPhone in 1989.
Right. So now anybody's downloading stuff for iPods, the writers are asking for money for those, which makes sense to me. And I'm sure they'll get their money, and this will all be worked out before too long.
That's why we are now, as new media pioneers...
Well,
going on strike.
First of all, if anyone wants me to write an office,
I will write the shit out of the office.
What will we do that for? Well, like you and I will come, like maybe a grand or something, like us together. Each take 500.
No,
I do it for that.
Don't lowball.
Don't lowball. Why? I'm just saying.
25K.
25K.
No,
well,
I mean,
the office is a show we want to do.
All right,
like we'll write a caveman for like 30K.
Yeah, the office.
We're right in office because we like.
I'll take three grand a piece on the office. Sweetheart deal.
Sure.
Cavemen.
I don't know that the actual writers get $3,000 a piece.
I know
this,
they
but.
Don't. I want full bennies. I want if I'm writing.
No,
cavemen.
I'm saying let's be scabs and just make some quick cash.
700.
We're talented.
700 a show.
Right. Let's make some quick money,
I'm
brother.
In. Yeah.
We'll crank these things out in an afternoon. Here, Dwight acts weird. Jim shrugs his shoulders.
Here's
and
my episode
his eyebrows.
Of the office.
What's that?
Pam decides to do a sexy photo lab for Jim.
Oh, okay.
And she does some boudoir photography.
There's your episode.
For 25 minutes, and Michael has some candy corn in his tooth. Yeah. There you go. You're done.
That's the whole
episode. I want Pam trying on lingerie for Jim.
There you go.
There's my episode of
there
The Office.
There it is. On mine, I'm going to have Creed act weird.
Oh, yeah.
And,
sure.
Yeah, that'll be that's my whole episode.
How about you have Stanley react to things with his
Stanley
eyes?
Does a crossword puzzle.
Right.
That's the whole. Yeah. That's the office.
And Bob Vance refrigeration gets plugged, and there we go.
All right. So Corey and I are available your script writing needs.
Hold on. Why don't we write spec scripts during this writer's strike?
We should.
I'll write like a specs Grey's Anatomy where they all fucking like shoot each other.
How is that different from? Oh, I want to ruin my fan fiction. We'll save that for another show.
We should write spec scripts.
All right, well, we're going to write spec scripts. We'll read them on the air.
We've been dreaming of writing.
Yeah, but we'll get into that. Let me do this game here.
All right.
This is a demonstration of writing talent right here, what I'm about to do.
I'm going to fire up with a Snickers Mini.
What's the wager we're going to have on this game? I came up with a game for Corey to play today.
Oh,
and you guys play along at home. What's the wager?
Wish you had a girlfriend. We could trade handies.
What wager should we have here?
Oh, what wager should we have? I don't know.
We'll just see. For gentleman bet. A gentleman's bet here, that's all.
A gentleman's agreement as I eat a Snicker Mini. Mm.
All right, I've got 18 here. We'll do one or two of these as a demonstration, and then we'll just see the rest, however many are left over. And maybe if I get bored, we'll just end it. We'll see how you're doing. But this is a great game I came up with. It's called, this is to commemorate the hockey season, which is pretty fresh, less than a month old.
Right.
Red Wings, I believe, are in first place. So the Detroit Red
They're
Wings
are huge.
But this game I came up with because Corey's like, I don't even know who's in the NHL.
I love the ice hockey.
Yeah.
Now, to set this up, I was once a massive NHL dork.
Yeah.
It's a huge NHL fan in the mid-90s, say.
Yeah.
Knew everybody on
and
every
we,
team.
We were just talking about hockey, and you were like, I don't even know who's on the team anymore.
No, I don't have no idea.
And I go, okay, let's do it. And we're like, they're all European guys and all kinds of stuff. So
hockey has really kind of taken a slide in America, and it to the point that I don't even know who they are.
Okay, so I came up with a game. I said, well, would you know? Okay, let's come up with a game. So I came up with NHL player or convicted war criminal.
Okay.
So what I did is I went to the Wikipedia.
Very reasonable.
Don't close your laptop, too, by the way. I don't want you any cheating.
No cheating. All right.
No cheating. Close the laptop.
No wacky sound effects during
That's all right.
Segment.
You're going to concentrate on your game. We're playing NHL player. These are also chosen from the top 200 scorers in the 2005-2006 season.
Okay.
These are the top 200 scorers in the 2005-2006 season.
Okay.
Or convicted war criminals. And I got this from Wikipedia, and you can look these names up if you don't believe
me. Let's send that to Letterman. Screw it.
Here we go. Yeah, here we go, Dave. From the home office in
Muncie.
All right, here we go. So I'm going to give you a name here, and you tell me NHL player or convicted war criminal.
Will do.
Okay. Evgeny Malkin. Evgeny Malkin.
Evgeny?
Evgeny Malkin.
What kind of
is
name?
He an NHL star or convicted war criminal? This is a demonstration one. This one doesn't even count. So
I will say he plays for the Boston Bruins.
Well, you don't even have to guess who he plays for.
Okay.
But you're saying he's an NHL player.
That's my guess.
Okay. You would be correct on that. Wow. He is an NHL player. He actually plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins. At least he did in 05-06.
I'm going to probably know the convicted war criminal.
06-07 he did, and he scored 85 points for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Okay, so
really?
All right. What about Paul Blobel? Paul Blobel.
Paul Blobel.
Yes.
You ever see? He's got a wicked slap shot. He's got a wicked slap. No.
Paul Blobel. This one doesn't count either, but it's Paul
Haitian
Blobel.
Dictator.
So what are you saying?
Dictator. I believe that's a war criminal.
War criminal, yes. He was a German Einsatzgruppe C official. Died in 1951.
Yes.
All right, so you did good. But
all right, I did well.
You did a demonstration.
Yeah, Paul Blobel, we have a parade for him every year in Frankfurt.
Yeah. How did I know you were going to do the Niels voice?
As a schoolboy, I would celebrate Paul Blobel's birthday every year by having a sneaker that I would hide and all have right. some marzipan in the closet where he sent all the Jews to hide.
All right, so I think there's 16 left. Okay. We'll do as many as we can here. Okay, Ali Jokinen.
Believe Ali Jokinen is a hockey player, right?
Ali Jokinen.
I'm going to go that's a hockey player.
It is a hockey player for the Florida Panthers.
Oh, good. Okay.
91 points in 06 or 07. So.
God, it's
good player. So you got one right. And put a,
what happened to the white people that used to play hockey?
I'll give you a circle for that.
I tell you what, that Kirk Muller, I would like, swear to God, I would kiss him on the mouth.
Okay, what about Frederick Berger?
That's another German hockey player.
Okay, Frederick Berger was a German Gestapo intelligence officer.
Son of a bitch.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
So he was a Nazi, okay.
His damn crowds.
Now, you have to remember who's been a convicted war criminal. There's a couple groups. They aren't all Nazis.
They're Serbians or Germans, right?
Okay, what about Milan Mikchalik?
I have no effing
Milan
clue.
Milan Mikchalik.
What?
He is either one of the top 200. By the list of convicted war criminals might have been 150 names, but it's either one of the top 200 players in the NHL or a convicted war criminal.
Mm.
Milan Mikchalik.
Let's go war criminal.
Milan Mikchalik plays for the San Jose
Sharks. Son of a bitch.
And he's a right winger that scored 66 points.
So, really?
Yeah, you're not doing good. You're 1-for-3 here. What about Lubomir Visnovsky?
Lubomir
Visnovsky.
Clearly is, that would be two hockey players in a row. That's a war criminal.
No, Lubomir Visnovsky is a defenseman for the LA Kings.
Son of a bitch.
That scored 58 points last year.
Don't know my hockey anymore.
Well, then we'll have to see about this guy. What about this guy? Now, this is, you have to remember, think about, somebody calling the game and going, Theodore Daneker. Theodore Daneker, the pass to Daneker.
Yeah.
The shoot, you could think
that
of it that way.
That sounds like a Nazi to me.
But that sounds like a Nazi to you, Daneker? Okay, well, you're saying Nazi? Saying war criminal. Okay, Theodore Daneker was a German SS deportation expert in France and Bulgaria. He died in 1945, so we might have actually taken him out.
Okay.
All right, so you're back in the game.
All right, good. That sounded like a crowd.
What about this name? Radomir Kovac.
Mm.
Radomir Kovac.
Plays for the Anaheim Ducks.
Is that what you're saying?
No, Radomir Kovac sounds like a Serbian dictator, Serbian criminal, right?
Okay, he was a Bosnian Serb sentenced to 20 years. So
all right, good.
Radomir Kovac, you got correct.
Okay. I got to get some of these right.
You're 500 now, baby. You're back in the game. What about Marian Gaborik?
Oh, Gaborik. I know him. That's Gaborik. A hockey player.
That is a hockey player.
I know him.
Minnesota Wild, 57 points.
Okay.
In right winger.
God, man.
All right, what about another guy?
Are there any white people in hockey? like American?
These are all white guys.
Well, they're like Canadians, you know.
Well, I didn't pick any. I picked hockey players that sounded foreign, obviously.
You know, it used to all be, Paul Eisenbart and it's either like French
Guy Lafleur,
guys.
Yeah.
Guy Lafleur or.
Well, that's why it's hard to tell. What
Tim
about
Chabaldet?
What about Joseph Stumpel?
Joseph Stemple is a hockey player.
Joseph Stemple is a hockey player for the Florida Panthers.
Okay. I can't believe I 57
pulled that one out. Points. Yeah. Okay. What about Miroslav Kovacka? Miroslav Kovacka.
He is a techno DJ. he plays all over Europe.
Miroslav Kovacka.
I'm gonna say Miroslav. That sounds to me like a criminal.
Okay, he's a Bosnian Serb.
Oh, good.
Sentenced to 7 years for the Omarska camp. I guess that was.
Now I'm hot. Now I'm.
Now you're on the roll, baby. That's four. That's five straight you've gotten. All right.
All right. Here we go.
Okay, Vladimir Sokolov. Vladimir Sokolov.
Boy, if I had to pick teams for these guys, I'd be screwed.
Yeah, if you had to pick teams, if I asked you, yeah, but I your top 200 guys, so I figured you might guess.
Vladimir Sokolov is in the Eastern Conference.
Vladimir Sokolov?
Yeah.
Okay, Vladimir Sokolov was a Russian journalist and German collaborator who published a pro-Nazi newspaper in the Nazi-occupied Soviet Union. But yes, I got you on a Russian.
Oh.
There wasn't a lot of Russians on this
list.
See,
you hear Sokolov, you go occupier.
Yeah, I know, but you got that one wrong. Okay. What about Wojtek Wolski? I was going to say Wojtek Wolski. It's W's, but I'm pronouncing it as Wojtek Wolski.
Those Polish names are hard to pronounce.
Yeah, it could be Polish. I'm not sure.
War criminal.
No, in Detroit, he would be a criminal because he plays for the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, son of a bitch.
But he's a left winger at 50 points.
What happened to Adam Dedmarsh?
That's a good question.
Yeah, he used to be like,
you got
you
that
know,
one wrong.
Canadians, eh?
You've gotten 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wrong and 5 rights. You're 500 right now. Okay, what about Oleg Saprykin?
Oleg Saprykin is a hockey player.
Yes, and he plays for the Ottawa Senators.
Okay,
he's a left winger.
That I know. Okay.
Saprykin. See, some of these, I figured you'd get some of these names.
Yeah, okay.
What about Andrej Mesaros?
Hockey player.
Andrej Mesaros, yes, for the Ottawa Senators.
Okay.
Defenseman, 35 points.
Is that A-N-D-R-E-J-I?
No, just J. A-N-D-R-E-J.
Okay.
What about Stevan Todorovic. Stevan Todorovic.
Once again, I'm going to say he's a forward.
He's a forward. He might have been a forward, but he was also a Bosnian Serb sentenced to 10 years.
Son of a bitch.
For the Bosanski Samak, whatever that is. But that's some sort of ethnic cleansing, so you got that one wrong.
Wow.
Okay. Let me see. I'm trying to see where you're at. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wrong and 7 right. So you're 7 right. You're 1 over.
Sure.
You're 1 over. But Zoran Vukovic. Zoran Vukovic.
Shit. Screw you, Gary Bettman.
Zoran Vukovic.
Zoran Vukovic.
What, is his jersey hanging at the Red Wings Pro Shop right now? Is Zoran...
He's not on the wings.
He's not on the wings, but I'm saying, would he be available? Could you go get a Zoran Vukovic jersey? Would you want to wear that around?
I believe that, yes, you could wear a Zoran Vukovic jersey.
Well, you would be supporting a Bosnian Serb sentence to 12 years. He's still alive. He was born in 1955.
You know what? Maybe I want to wear the jersey of a Bosnian Serbian girl.
This is what it all comes down
to. Fuck those Croats right now.
This is what it all comes down to.
Okay.
You're exactly 500. I've got one name left on this paper.
All right.
If you get it
right,
you won by one either way. Either way, my point has been demonstrated that you can't tell the war criminals.
No, I can't.
From the NHL players at all. This print would have sucked if you would have ran through it all, right?
I know.
All right, what about Otto Dietrich?
Otto Dietrich, that's a crowd.
Otto Dietrich. I'm sorry I put the easiest one at the end.
That's a definite Nazi.
He was Adolf Hitler's personal press secretary. He died in 1957.
Yeah,
okay. Corey, congratulations.
Woo! That was tight, though.
Wasn't that good?
I thought I would be better than that.
Wow, you did bad.
I swear to God,
you
I
did
used
bad.
To know the NHL.
No, granted, I didn't pick, I didn't pick Himmler, and I didn't pick a lot of the big Nazis or the real popular.
Martin Bormann.
I didn't pick a lot, but I gave you a good mix of play.
Yeah.
And those were all top 200 guys in the NHL. And
Gabarek I knew,
and
that was a very few of them I knew.
Yeah, very few you knew. You knew
Joseph
Stemple, I think you got right away.
Stemple, yeah,
so you got a couple of these.
I used to be a huge hockey fan.
Saprykin you got, yeah.
But here's, hockey, they don't even talk about hockey on, radio
no,
anymore.
They don't, yeah.
You occasionally have a Red Wing topic once in a while. It's never on TV anymore.
Okay.
Like SportsCenter.
All right. So what do we, let's go, we got to review I'm Not There. Is there something else we got to review as well?
Mm.
We got 10 minutes left. Let's do it.
Fred Claus. No.
You want to do Fred Claus? I'm sure it sucks, so go ahead and do it quickly if you want to do it.
Yeah. Here's
Fred
my
Claus.
Review of Fred Claus. Fuck you.
It was that bad, huh? That's the Christmas movie with... What was that? What's wrong with your computer?
I just opened it back up.
Vince Vaughn... It fell asleep or something. I want to review a bit. Yeah. Vince Vaughn is in that. He's
the audience fell asleep during
the
bit.
He's the brother of Santa Claus.
Yes, yes.
And Paul Giamatti is Santa Claus.
Yeah. Yeah, here you go.
What? No, I'm fine. I'm going to have another Vader head candy, actually.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Fred Claus is
What's
bad.
Really amazing about Fred Claus is the cast that they got to star in it.
And who's the director of that? It's the guy who made something good.
Boy, now I'm going to find out.
Fred Claus is the guy who made Wedding Crashers.
Yes, it is.
And I don't even know who that is, but I know that people liked Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
Which I never saw. Cause
Vince Vaughn and him teaming up again.
Yeah. But people kind of seem to like Wedding Crashers.
David Dobkin is the director.
So he made this piece of shit, Fred Claus, huh?
Well, it's just... David Dobkin also did Shanghai Nights. So,
oh, well, maybe he's...
I mean, hey.
Oh, okay. I take it all back then about he's a good director.
Well, here's the thing about Fred Claus. There are laughs in it.
Yeah.
But they're about every... They're spaced out.
Yeah.
They give you time... What they do in Fred Claus, they give you time to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Maybe go to the concession stand, refill a tub of popcorn. If you leave... Every 10 minutes, you'll get a laugh when you come back. And it's a 2-hour movie. So just not enough jokes.
So just stupid and predictable.
Well,
and...
it's Vince Vaughn doing the Vince Vaughn shtick.
Yeah.
Oh, I like what you're doing. I like that hat with the curl on the little. You got the little elfy shoes. I don't know. It's a little creepy.
Yeah.
I would try something
So
different.
He's like Mr. Hip sent to the North Pole to help build toys or something. Is that the idea?
He's got a he's a little pissed off because he's lived in the shadow of his brother.
Yeah.
And Paul Giamatti is Santa Claus, and he decides that he'll reach out. I can't believe I'm describing the plot. Fred Claus wants to open up an off-track betting place, and he needs $50,000. He needs $50,000 to open up an OTB.
Yeah.
And Santa says, look, I'll give you the $50,000, but you got to work for it.
All right.
So he comes up and judges who's naughty and who's nice.
Ah.
Now, some of your actors that you like are in this. Rachel Weisz is in this.
Okay, I like Rachel Weisz.
Didn't
we saw the trailer and said she must be in it for 2 seconds?
She's his girlfriend, and so she's not in it a lot.
Yeah.
She gets left back in Chicago.
She's left, yeah. Okay.
While he's up in the North Pole.
Sure.
Elizabeth Banks, who's a very hot piece of ass.
Well, where was she from? How do I know her?
Boy, she
How do I know Elizabeth Banks?
You let me look at her.
How many times have I masturbated to her without remembering her name?
I don't know. She's very fetching blonde.
Okay. Young girl or a little
older? She was in The Baxter. I know you saw that.
Yes.
She was the blonde fiance.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she was okay.
She's Santa's little helper, and they got her in a little Santa out, little Santa suit.
Okay,
points for that.
All right,
but Kevin Spacey's in this motherfucker. Miranda Richardson's in this piece of shit.
Yeah,
it's like, well, how did they get this cast?
Wow. Okay.
And what's really disturbing is that it's mostly midgets. The elves are mostly
really
just regular midgets, but for a couple of them, they've taken a real regular sized actor and CGI'd their head onto a midget.
Oh, really?
One of which is John Michael Higgins.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, a comedian from, like, Best in Show. And
yeah,
Mighty
he's from
Wind
all those movies, yes.
But he's, like, with the lead elf.
Yeah.
And so the whole time you're like,
he must have a lot of lines then.
Yeah, he's, like, he's got a huge part. He's, like, the sidekick. Yeah. It's so creepy, and you're freaked out
and
the
you
whole
can't even,
time.
And you can't even pay attention to the character because you're just looking at it going,
no.
That looks bad, right?
Why didn't they cast, like, Peter Dinklage or some bullshit?
Yeah.
And, like, just get a regular midget
Midget, yeah.
No, they got to fuck knuckle a guy onto a midget and disturb me the whole time.
Sure. Well, you know, the story was when they originally did the Star Wars, the newest of the new ones,
yes.
Phantom Menace,
mm-hmm.
There was a thought about should they CGI the Jar Jar Binks head on Jar Jar?
Yeah.
Or should they, like, they were going to take a suit and just CGI the head.
Sure.
Then they decided it was too distracting. And so they went all CGI.
Yeah, but what they did originally was there was a guy in a suit. And
right,
they
right,
just
right.
Traced over him.
Right, right, right. But I'm
but
saying
they shot him in a
the
suit.
Idea, the idea was they actually did have a thing where they were going to use a suit for the whole Jar Jar.
Yeah.
And then just replace the head. And what they ultimately did was did a whole CGI, which I guess this is a third option that Fred Claus took then, in that they put a guy's. You know what I'm saying? What they could have done is they should have just used a whole CGI midget.
They should have just used a midget actor.
Or why not use a CGI midget with the David Michael Higgins face? Would that have been more believable with like the David Michael Higgins voice.
It's just, you have to see it. I mean, some of it is CGI creation and some of it's really disturbing.
Some of it is just him standing in a hole in the ground or something. Right.
Right? Yeah. Like there's forced perspective shots.
Right. Well, they did that a lot for Lord of the Rings and stuff where they would do, you know, when they would have like, what's his name? Elijah Wood was having dinner with Gandalf.
Yeah.
They built like a forced perspective table where Gandalf was in the foreground, and then when they made this, it looked like they were sitting next to each other.
What they'll do is they'll have two shots where he and Vince Vaughn are walking together in a shot, and you're just distracted the whole time by this bizarre, homunculus CGI midget
I'm
creation.
Assuming they didn't do it as good as Lord of the Rings, is what you're saying.
No.
Fred Claus didn't have the budget for that.
Ludacris is the midget elf DJ.
Okay, stop. I'm ending. Yeah. Enough. Next movie.
So there you go.
Next movie, thumbs
Fred
down.
Fred Claus. You... Mother effers.
Okay, fuck all that. 5 minutes for I'm Not There.
I'm Not There, which we played the music from as a soundtrack this week. Wow.
Let me just ask you a question. I know what it is. It's about Bob Dylan. Is it a straight... Obviously, it's not a straight... Is it a bio of Dylan?
No.
Or is it more about, like... So what happens in this movie?
It's very bizarre. It's multiple storylines. There's first of all, there's like... five different actors that play Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Six, maybe.
All right.
And each one represents a different phase of his life.
Okay.
Part of it is a biopic. Part of it is like a fake documentary.
All right.
Part of it is just whatever the fuck that the guy was.
It's all about it's all about Dylan's real life, or is it like fictional?
It's fictionalized. It's like inspired by Bob Dylan, but it's very obviously... him.
But is he ever called Bob Dylan?
No, he's not called Bob Dylan.
It's just a guy. It's just a character.
It's this guy that,
wow. Okay.
Or they're all different characters.
Right.
But they're all different who look exactly like Bob Dylan and act like Bob Dylan. All
right.
Now, there's Bob Dylan music throughout the whole thing, and then there's covers of Bob Dylan music.
Yeah.
Like, Cate Blanchett is him.
Yeah.
And she's like the Dylan from like the mid-60s, like 65, 66, like the Don't Look Back in Anger period.
Don't Look Back, yeah.
Don't Look Back, whatever.
Don't Look Back in Anger. Was
the D.A. The D.A. Pennybaker documentary, Don't Look Back. And that part's great.
Yeah.
Like, they're running around, and Michelle Williams is like Edie Sedgwick.
Okay.
A stand-in. It's just a very bizarre movie.
All right.
I liked it. I'm a Dylan fan. I got something out of it. I enjoyed it.
Right.
I got a feeling that most people will
It's just too weird, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
There's this whole bit where Heath Ledger's an actor who plays Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Or he plays the Christian Bale version of Bob Dylan in a movie.
Really?
It's just very bizarre.
All right.
Yeah, Christian Bale's like the early Times Are A-Changin', like folk singer guy. And that turns into Cate Blanchett. It just kind of weaves in and out. It's really, you can tell it's really high-level craft.
Right.
Whether or not you want to buy all that
shit.
Is another thing.
Because I like Dylan, and I don't even know that I care. Like, I'm a big Dylan guy, but I don't...
You almost feel like they could separate each one and make its own movie.
Yeah.
And it would be stronger that way.
Okay.
But instead, it's this weird fusion piece. All
right.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty... Look, it's not... It's taking risks. If you're a real movie fan, and you want to see something that's going to be wildly imaginative and challenging, you can't go wrong. If you're just a dude who likes to watch Saw...
Right, then skip
then it. Then you will hate this with every fiber of your being.
Okay.
So I liked it being a big movie buff. But yeah, it's the weirdest thing. They got Richard Gere running around as he's not even Bob Dylan, he's Billy the Kid.
Well, he was Billy the Kid in Pat Garrett and the Billy
the Kid. So it's like allusions
Dylan
to the music.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. It sounds weird. I guess I have to see it to judge, but I think I'll pass on it at this point. But anyway.
There's a little Beatles homage, which is
I can't see spending money to see that, is in other words.
Right.
So.
Right.
But you didn't pay money to see it anyway.
Well, of course not. They paid me money to see it. So there you go.
That's the way it should be. Anyhow, we got to get out of here, folks. Mm-hmm. It's about that time. So what else can I say? Welcome back to the show. And after all our guests, we finally got to bullshit and review movies. So.
Well, hey.
It felt good.
That's what we do best.
Oh. NHL player or convicted war criminal.
It's a good bit.
Sat on the shelf for about a good 6 weeks there. So
send that one into Letterman. Let's go.
But you know, that is something that like Stoney and Wojo would do, like our afternoon sports guys. That's a perfect bit for that.
Sure.
Maybe we'll have to recreate that on our...
Well, since they just fired the morning team, let's send it
in. Yeah,
well,
we're going to send in a demo and we'll put NHL player or war criminal on there.
Woo!
All right, guys, we're going to play more from the I'm Not There soundtrack. This is Sonic Youth doing I'm Not There, the title song. So.
All right.
We're going to get out of here.
I am going to go try and figure out what Joel put in my pocket and then call him a bigot for doing it. Well, then I'll guess what Raven Simone's got in her underwear.
There you go. Hey. We'll see you next time on Corey and Joel Radio. Good night, everybody.
Things are crashing there. She's all too tight. In my neighborhood, she's...